Log Talk Radio.
No one knows what it's really like to be disabled until they become disabled. And they have to deal with the system that controls us. The system really controls the lives of people who are disabled. Now, I got the idea for this show. One of our listeners called me today and wanted me to do a show on this. So I know we've said these things before, and but how can you say them enough when all the time people are falling into this trap? You know. So I told her I would do this show tonight. I hope that party will call in. She was telling me that if you're on SSI and you get married, they take away your SSI. You know, and then if you have an aide in one of the five boroughs and you're on Medicaid, you're not supposed to go anyplace with that aide.
Huh?
That's what she told me.
They ain't supposed to go everywhere with you.
Yeah, well, that's not what I was told today.
That doesn't sound like a reliable source, because Suzanne goes everywhere with her aide when her aide is there.
Wait, is she on a CDPAP?
I think so.
Yeah, well, that's different. CDPAP's different.
But she still has an aide, and she's on Medicaid. And she's on Medicare and everything else.
But CDPAP is a different program. They have different programs. You know?
Well, then this person that says they can't go anywhere without the aide has to get on that program.
Well, easier said than done. You know, I don't know if they can get on that program.
No, that aide is supposed to go anywhere they go. I mean, the only place they're not allowed, as we know, is past the emergency room in the hospital. The aide's got to be there with them.
Yeah, but the aide, can the aide go on vacation with you?
I don't know. But most people that are disabled and need an aide can't go on vacation.
Well, they could if somebody pays for it.
Right.
But we'll hopefully, this person calls in, we'll clarify some of this. But point is, the agencies really control your life. Now, this is so evident, especially with the service dog schools. You know, they have tremendous control. They have control over the kind of dog, the breed of dog they're going to give you. They have control over the name, what the dog's name is. They have control over...
I think you're responsible for the name, not them.
No, they name the dog. You don't name the
dog. Really?
You can change it.
My friends have told me, you know, Dave and Sharon said they give the dog the name. They don't take the name that's given to them.
Well, they can change the name, but the dog has a name when they get it. Has to. How are you going to train a dog without a name?
Right.
I mean, you could do it, but it'd be hard. Yeah, so the school controls that. The school controls the training, you know, situation. You have literally no say over that, you know. The school controls the waiting list. You have nothing, no way to be a part of that, or you cannot have, if you have a dog and you're disabled, you can't get the school to evaluate that dog or check it out to see that it might be a good candidate. They control the whole show with that program, you know. And, you know, the whole system is controlled by the agencies and or the government. And the main reason they control everything is because they're in charge of the funding. And that's really the bottom line. That's why they have such control over us. Because they decide, you know, the money. They hold the money. And most of the time, you have to go and fight with them and argue with them. How many people are in nursing homes?
No.
Because the agencies control them.
We have one person now, she's been fighting to get out, but they won't do anything for her. And
yeah.
The last time I was told, she had a broken bed and they won't give her another bed. And she's hurt her back severely. And they won't do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's just one person. I mean, how many more throughout the country have to deal with a horrible situation in a nursing home?
How could they make you sleep on a broken bed?
Well, these places are not set up to help the person. They're set up to help the establishment, the place. That's really what it's about. You know, that's the first priority.
But the problem with that, Frank, is if someone gets that severely disabled from a broken bed, they're not going to be in that nursing home. They're going to be back in a hospital to get cured for the injury to their back.
Yeah, they're supposed to send you to the hospital.
So then the nursing home is losing money because they're not in the nursing home.
Yeah, well, the system is still getting money, though.
Yeah, right.
You know, one part of it or another part, it's still the medical system. You know, but you know, and a lot of people aren't even aware, or they don't want to be, or they can't be bothered with being disabled, and then on top of that, fighting for their rights. You know, yeah, you're entitled to a hearing. A review, whatever you want to call it, in a lot of places. But that's a big burden on the disabled person many a time. You know, and very, very few disabled people I find will go through that because they're afraid.
Well, more of
a
problem, Frank, it's hard for them to get to the hearing. They're less afraid than discouraged because it's always in an area that they can't get to without a fight for transportation.
Yeah.
And someone to back them up.
Yeah. You know, and there is a certain amount of resentment many a times on the part of these agencies that you're having a hearing against. You know,
right.
and in many subtle ways they can make it harder for you. You know, I mean, in any number of ways. The person who gave me the idea for this show was telling me that, you know, they send you aides that don't want to work, don't do the job. They don't give you enough hours.
They're not getting paid enough, and most of them don't speak English.
Yeah. So there's another form of control to the lives of countless numbers of people who are disabled, you know. And what about the fact that you have to deal with all the places that aren't accessible? in a wheelchair, let's say a wheelchair, that's a form of control. They're controlling your life. You can't go where you want when you're disabled. You can't. You know, you gotta try. You make a phone call, you inquire. They tell you one thing on a phone, you get there, you find something else. How many times does that happen?
Because they don't understand what you're asking them, which is so stupid.
Not only that, right. But that's a form of control.
Yeah.
They're controlling your life. You can't get into that place. You know? I mean, when I walk down the street in the town where I live, and I can't read the damn traffic lights, you know, they're controlling me. You know, if I'm standing on the corner and there's a car, 2-3, in the crosswalk, and cars are moving, and I don't know what the hell that light says, I don't know what to tell my dog. I just got to try to wait, try to figure out. You know, is this car going to move? Is what the cycle, you know, how long have I got to cross, you know? They're controlling my life.
Yeah.
And with that situation, they're controlling your life to the point where it could be deadly. You know? And then, how many times, especially recently, because I can't read these damn lights, I'm waiting on the corner, and people will call out of a car, go ahead, cross.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I got the light or not. Go ahead, cross. What the hell do I know? They're controlling your life in so many different ways. And I blame the Commission for the Blind for that, number one. They ought to make sure that every damn light in this state is accessible. And another blame for that are these guide dog schools. I gave them the idea and they didn't want to do it. You know, tell the traffic people we're training the dogs to find the light. Put the damn lights up. That would work.
The thing is, they don't believe they could train the dogs to find the lights.
Oh,
I believe that's what the problem is.
Come on, my dog can find an accessible light in a minute.
Of course, because you trained him.
Yeah. Come on.
You
it's
think
the simplest
they have
thing in the
smarts?
World.
You think they have enough smarts to do that? I don't think so.
They should.
But I don't believe they do. That's why they won't help with it.
If you're consistent and you do it right.
Yeah. But my theory is they don't know how. That's why they won't do it.
Why the hell don't they call me? I'll show them how.
Because they're not going to have a blind person come in and train dogs. Which is so stupid.
Another form of control.
Yep.
You know.
By the way, we do have Anthony on hold, waiting. And I do want to say something about this control business without mentioning names. We have someone's mom in the hospital right now.
Yeah.
Who is definitely, absolutely being controlled.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're trying to force her into a nursing home because they claim she's got dementia. They claim she's got this. They claim she's got that. And every time she is called by a family member, she says, I can't talk, there's someone in my room. I can't talk, there's someone in my room. Now, if this and the daughter doesn't know what's going on, and I said, you know, there's something illegal going on here, because if there's someone in that room watching your mother, preventing her from talking to you, they're breaking the law.
Well, somebody's got to call her lawyer and inform her about this.
Oh, I know. But she doesn't get that. She says that's not true. You know, but yet she says every time she calls, her mom says, I can't talk, and hangs up.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably afraid to talk in front of these people. Whoever it is.
She She did it to me this afternoon. But this is, when I called this afternoon, she said, I can't talk. There's someone in my room. A doctor's in here giving me testing me and stuff like that. So I could understand that.
Yeah.
You know, if in fact that's what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, every time the daughter calls and she says, I can't talk to you, there's someone in my room. I can't talk to you, there's someone in the room, and just hangs up. Unless the daughter is not hearing what she's saying, which could be another issue.
Yeah. Let's take a call from... I'm sorry. Go ahead. You finished?
No, I. Yeah. You know, basically I was laughing about the crap that's being pulled on her. It's like...
Yeah,
insane.
Well, then that's what they do to people. You know, the whole system is directed in that way.
Yeah.
You know? Look what they did to this woman, Marlene, in Boston, in Massachusetts. You know? Now, no one ever, and I intend to make an issue out of this, no one ever said one thing about her disability in the whole history of the court proceedings.
No.
Her stupid-ass lawyer never even brought it up. She's in a nursing home now because she's disabled. If she was able-bodied and she was able to walk out of that courtroom, she would not be in a damn nursing home. I'm thoroughly convinced of it. And an issue should have been made out of that. And it wasn't. And her brother took advantage of her because she's disabled. You know? And she had a jackass lawyer who didn't even bring in a doctor, you know, with a positive evaluation for her. And I learned from a friend of hers who, a lawyer, good, by the way, who's turning out to be a good friend to Inner Sight, another lawyer who fought and saved her legs, you know, he couldn't take the case now because the court won't let him, a conflict of interest, because he already serviced her, you know. But this guy is a great, great guy. He's a big dog lover, by the way. He rescues dogs. So we have something in common. And, you know, he has been guiding us, you know, and helping us as a friend.
Yeah.
You know, to get her out of there. And he agrees that a lot of this is being done to her because she's disabled.
Meh.
And no one ever made an issue out of that. And the whole thing was never even brought up. And the poor woman sitting there in court in the wheelchair, you know, and like, you know how the courts treat disabled people.
Meh.
They're not for us. You know, they talk all around you, you know, most of the time, you know. Anyway, let's take a call, 213-816-1650. Talk about control.
Anthony, you're on the line.
Hi, guys. How's everything?
Hey.
Hey. I had quite a few things to talk about tonight. I was the one talking to Frank earlier, but the line was breaking up, so he couldn't understand what I was saying. So here I am to explain everything. Regarding the agencies, it is true that they're supposed to go everywhere with you, but not out of the borough. If you had a doctor's appointment or wanted to go see a family member or go to a family party, they are not allowed or required to take you for insurance reasons. You know, they're only allowed to take you within the borough that you live, and if you have no one to take you, you must go alone.
What are you,
you know,
talking about agencies not taking you? Agencies don't take people anywhere.
I don't mean the agencies. I mean the home health aides from the agencies. They're,
no, that's
they're
not
taught.
True, because every place that Suzanne has to go, her aide goes with her. Whether it's Queens, New York City, her aide goes with her.
I understand that, Joe, but on CDPAP, it's seen more as a casual, friendly thing, and they let you get away with
friendly thing. That aide is their aide. That person is hired as an aide. They're not there as a friend.
It's their agency. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the insurance she's on, but I was always told for many years that I've had home care that they're not allowed to go out of the borough with you.
Now, in the past, she's had AIDS before she was on CDPAP, and they had to take her. They had to go with her wherever she went because that person was her aide. They had to go.
And regarding people being confined to the house, I wouldn't say, absolutely confined, but I was told from people that I know that live in Missouri, they have what I would consider a home-based program where, you're not really allowed to go anywhere with the aide. You basically stay in the house because they figure that most of their clients are elderly anyway and can't get out. And if you are disabled, they don't want the responsibility of taking you out and then something, happening and something happening with you in the wheelchair.
Anthony, the aides don't take you out. The aide goes out with you. They don't.
I understand, but they're responsible for escorting you, which
right,
they don't,
and they're required
right.
to do it by law.
Right, but that's in New York. I'm talking about in other states. They're not
almost everywhere. It's the same way. They are the reason they're a home health care aide is because they're supposed to be helping that person get done what they need to get done on a daily basis. And if that means going to a doctor's appointment or somewhere else, they're required to be there with them if it's during their shift.
I had a lady tell me that her aide wasn't allowed to take her out because she kind of gave in to her aide and she signed the timesheet. So, for hours that her aide didn't work because you know how they manipulate the clients and, they require care, so they get the clients assigned for hours that they didn't work just because they need them. And so she claimed that the state put her on a program where she was basically homebound service only because they didn't want to be responsible if something happened to her that she would
so
tell
the
truth.
So the state controls it.
Yeah, but
right.
There's something wrong. There's something wrong there because as long as that aide is on their work shift, they're required to be with the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Suzanne, she's had times where her aide's been with her, and her aide has had to leave because they ran over her time slot.
Yeah,
she still went with her.
I think the bottom line here, and the point Anthony's trying to make, is the agency and the state controls the whole thing. They have the
right
to change these things, and because they have the money, they're paying these people.
Yeah, but they
we don't have
they
the
cannot tell. They, I don't think any state could tell a person that they're not allowed out of their home. They can't lock them in their home.
I don't know, but it would be an interesting fact to look into. She lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and another thing that I know about, Missouri home care, for example, is that they evaluate everything on a point system. Like here in New York, I'm in a wheelchair, as you guys know, and I could just be, I could just be blind, for example, and not be in a wheelchair. And under their circumstances, you would not qualify for pretty much hardly any hours because you have to have a multitude of disabilities that would, severely impact your life in order. Yeah, in order for them to feel that you need, enough hours of care. And, what else was I going to tell you? I was also told, which I don't want to spread rumors on, I don't know if it's true, but I'll tell you something that I know for a fact after this. She was told that she could not sleep in the bedroom with her husband because it's considered a community bedroom. Any part of the house... Yes, this is what a coordinator told her. She said that any part of the house that more than one person occupies beside the client, like if you live with you and your son, because you live with your son and he uses the kitchen, they're not required to clean the kitchen. So if you sleep
cleaning certain places is one thing, but they can't tell a married couple they can't be together.
No. They're not telling you that you can't sleep together, but they tell you that as a result of that, the aide is not required to clean the bedroom because it's considered a
community. No, they are still required to. Some of them will only clean the side that the disabled person is on, but they're still required to do it.
There's another form of control.
I don't know, but that's what
Suzanne's had that problem where they've only
she
had AIDS that would only clean her side of the bed, her side of the room, but they can't tell you you can't be with your spouse.
But then again, you can only clean to a limit one side of the room. I mean, you might be able to do that with dusting, but not if you were going to sweep. I mean, you would only how do you sweep only one side of the floor or mop side of the floor? I mean, I could never.
Wow.
But beside that, and this is a point that I know for a fact that I'm speaking for myself, if you complain about severe neglect to the agency, you can do it. But if it comes to a point where you feel that you were abused by an aide and you call the police, a lot of agencies will blacklist you. And when your insurance calls them and asks them if they want the case, they'll say no because they're not required to discuss the reason why
they
you
control
called the police. But, they're not required to discuss the reason that you called the police, but they'll just discuss that this this case had legal issues on it. Even if nothing went to court, but you an aide threatened you, or you know, like let's say they hit you and you hit them back, so you got into a fight, they would automatically consider that a legal issue because home care, as we know, is for frail people. So they want the kind of person that would only report you know light things to the agency, like my aide didn't clean or do the laundry, or if they hit you.
If you just call the agency about an aide, you're blacklisted. You don't have to call the police.
It's already happened. Right. Well, you get blacklisted to a point if you complain excessively about, not being taken.
All you have to do is call once and you're already blacklisted. Suzanne had that problem before she went on CDPAP.
So
she had an aide that actually stole from her. We have another person, the aide actually hurt her, and she tried.
Yeah.
She called up the agency, and they told her she couldn't have another aide. The one person, the aide actually physically abused her, and she called up about it, and they wouldn't give her another aide.
Yeah, the I didn't know that could happen if you just complain about one aide, you know, neglecting you as far as not
has nothing to do with the police.
Yeah, not doing the laundry. But I didn't know that, I knew that if you complain about abuse, they can refuse to serve you at any time, and so can they also if you complain too much about, you know, the house duties not being done, but not as immediately as they would if you complained about abuse. And
One of our advocates, one of her aides, threatened to kill her cats every time something came up. She abused her, maybe not always physically, but mentally. She kept saying the house was full of demons. She wouldn't give the person the right food. She'd make her only what she wanted to make because she said those are the only foods she would cook. And every time she threatened her that she was going to call the agency and complain about her, she said, well, you call the agency, I'm going to kill your cats.
That's terrible. But I'll tell you that, you know, what the problem is, that when you report these aides, it's the right thing to do because, you know, you are a victim and you don't want the person to be able to get away with abusing you and go to the next client and do the same thing. But the problem is that when you do it, you suffer more than they do because they might lose their job, and 99% of the time, if you call up with an allegation like that, the agency isn't going to want to deal with it.
They don't lose their job. They're probably just sent to someone else. But you lose because you don't get another aide. They tack it on you. They don't tack it on the aide.
Right. Either way, you're seen as a problem. So if you're in a hospital, let's say, and you had a problem with an aide, and then you get sick, or they take you to the hospital because you're under 24-hour care, you are subjected to pretty much waiting in a hospital for God knows how many days until they can find you another agency. And, you know, there are agencies that have problem cases and are, you know, I would say a little bit more tolerant of dealing with something like that until it happens in their agency. But once you report, you know, anything with severe abuse or anything, you're pretty much, in a difficult situation for the rest of your life because, you know, of what that aid did
to you. Yeah, but
you've
got to report it. You can't let someone...
Yes. But
you can't let someone abuse you.
Right. No. I'm not saying that at all. But it isn't fair to you that you are the victim and you get victimized twice and you pay the consequences of, you know, what someone else should have been punished for. You're the disabled person who needs care and you get punished for, trying to make sure that other person is punished for what they did to you. But also,
we have an aide in the nursing home right now that cannot get an aide. That's why she's in the nursing home. They're refusing to give her an aide for the hours she needs them.
I know that, I don't know Suzanne's exact situation with
everything
with her mom.
No, it's not Suzanne.
But
it's not Suzanne.
But what I was explaining about that was that you can get the Legal Aid Society many times to fight for you to get an aide because pretty much in a lot of circumstances, even if the person has dementia or whatever, they can give them split shift care. And if you get a lawyer, they'll back off, you know, from wanting to put you in a facility if you're coming out of a hospital or maybe even keep you in a facility.
This woman's been in a nursing home for months on end because they will not give her an aide for the amount of hours she needs that aid because she's by herself. And she's stuck in the nursing home because as much as she talks to her social worker and everyone else, they cannot find an aide to work enough hours. They won't give it to her. They say she's not allowed to have the hours.
Sure to demand a hearing.
That's the insurance. But I don't – even still with the budget of insurance and stuff like that and the way they, you know, run things, I don't see how that could be legal based on a person's, severity and critical nature of their need. You know what I mean? If I couldn't get out of bed, how could you say that, you know, I'm not allowed to live in my home where I'm comfortable and happy because you don't want to pay for the hours? I mean, I don't –
Anthony, this woman lost her job because the aide would not help her with cleanliness.
They blamed her for it.
Yeah, she lost her job because they said she had a bad odor about her, and she came into work with not being cleanly. And her aide was with her all the time, and her aide would flat down refuse to clean her up.
That's awful, and I would think that based on that, they could terminate you. It's probably one of the easiest ways you can be terminated. But how did the agency see fit?
This was an office for and about disabled people. This is an office that helps disabled people.
And they didn't help her try to, you know, get the agency to change the aid and give her another aid?
I told her about that. She said they refused to do it. And the people we're talking about, I honestly don't believe they would. I don't think she handled it properly, to tell you the truth. But, you know, she says that she was let go on the premise that no one wanted to be around her because she had this bad odor. And the aide refused to help her out. And the fact that nobody came to her rescue by saying to that aide, you've got to clean her up, that's your job, you know, it really amazes me. Because this is basically an advocacy office for the disabled, and they didn't do anything to help them.
I don't see that as fair, and I don't see... You know, how the agency saw that as fair, and I don't know why they couldn't help her and, you know, make a call to the agency to get it, to get her a different aid or to get the agency changed. I mean, these agencies
I told her when she gets out of the situation she's in, to call the director of that facility and speak to him about getting her damn job back because it wasn't her fault.
Yeah, I mean, we know that these agencies are not, you know, what you would consider fair fighters, and they're not about, you know, like, compassionate conscience of, you know, who what was right and what was wrong. When it comes down to severe neglect like that, it's just, oh, we can't handle this case because we're sending 50 people in and out of the house, and we can't rely on you know, the person being taken care of 100% if they're going to make a, if they're going to get a complaint like that. But that is awful. And
she was told she couldn't even have an aide come back into the house until her carpeting and everything else was changed in the house. So while she was sitting in the nursing home, she had to pay someone to put new carpeting and new flooring in her house.
Yeah, they
she
would
can't
probably
afford it, but she had to do it anyway.
Yeah, they probably would come up with something like that, you know, if they're going to say it was a danger for the aide or the agency just wanted to get rid of the case, you know, because she was complaining. I mean, I don't mind doing this, and I think I've done this once before, but I'll do it again. There's a number that people can call if they have a complaint about home health aides, you know, and the agency and, you know, neglect and things like that if they're not being taken care of, if the agency won't change the aide. It's open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. It's 212-417-5888. That's 212-417-5888. If anyone would want to call, but I don't see how a person can be limited to.
Can
just
you give that
one
number a little slower, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 212-417-5888. It's 212-417-5888, and they're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and it's the New York State Department of Health Home Health Aid Complaint Line. But I don't see, you know, why it's fair that
they control you too.
Yeah, they do. And I don't see, you know, why it's fair that because, you know, a disabled person is at the mercy of society, as we know, and we know that they're going to have, you know, Lord knows how many people coming out of their homes. Why? Because we complain about being neglected because you know that some people are going to neglect you. And, you know, if you keep changing aides over time, it's highly likely that you may be, you know, neglected or even abused more than once or even twice. So why are we limited and restricted and watched over every little thing we do, you know, that we have to be removed from our homes because, you know, they just decide that, you know, we're not fit to live in our homes anymore because a person has dementia or Alzheimer's. I mean, there's all kind of cases in home care that they deal with, you know, that some people would probably say, oh, you know, she shouldn't be in her home or he shouldn't be in her home, but they do it anyway. But if you complain enough, they just want to warehouse you and, you know, put you away in a facility and forget about you. You know, I mean, it sounds wild. But
excuse me, Anthony. Let me remind everyone, Inner Sight around the world. We're on television tonight at 11. Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 1997. It goes on to the internet on the Spirit Channel. You're listening to Inner Sight on the blog. And our phone number here is 213-816-1650. We're talking about how the agencies control the lives of disabled people. I got to recognize some of our friends. And
I'm
going to
put you on the side for a little while, Anthony, okay? We'll bring you back in.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
Yeah. Inner Sight around the world, brought to you by SILO, Suffolk Independent Living Organization. And you can dial them up at 631-880-7929. So, and I want to thank them for pledging the renewal of their ad here. We really appreciate that.
And increasing it this year.
Yeah. We need all the help we can get to keep this thing going. All right. Inner Sight and Kennedy Realty goes around the world right here in Islip, New York, Mr. Kennedy's office. 631-888-1186. You want to buy a house, sell a house, or just get some advice. You know, Mr. Kennedy is very open to that. So
he's good with rentals, too.
Yeah. good friend to Innosight, Kennedy Realty. All right, around the world, please remember all the beautiful children, and especially Corey, Foster, and Avante, Oquindo, who two youngsters who deserved a lot better treatment. And we honor all the children around the world. Watch out for them, protect them. Yes, and Innosight here a Monday through Friday, 8 to 9, live on the Internet. Brought to you by Good Mojo Printers around the world. You need printing, you need leaflets or stationery, business cards, anything. We recommend Good Mojo.
631-6... money.
Yeah, right. No, we won't do that. 631-666-1010 on the Good Mojo. So give them a call over there and tell them you heard about it here on Innosight. They'll like that. Toro Law School, our friends over there. And we especially salute Ave Maria Thompson.
Yes.
A great, great lady, great lawyer. Their number is 631-7000.
She's almost right. Better than Sam Wiggins.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to get people to listen here, Frank. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Able News, and we don't have the Suze with us. She never checked in, huh?
No. Oh,
all right,
wait,
so
Jeff, let me take a look. Someone else just came in on the line.
Just in time?
No.
To do the Able?
It's someone else, not her.
All right. All right, so you want to...
Yeah, Able News is the newspaper for, by, and about the disabled. It has served the disabled community for the past 27 years with all the news that pertains to people with disabilities, including a calendar of events, columns written by various experts, and a variety of informative articles in a large type format. The input of the disabled person is a priority. Able also has a personals page that boasts two marriages, a classified section for buying and selling items, and various informative ads by different vendors. Able News is now online, so please go to ablenews.com and sign up for that free subscription today. And if you give me another moment, Frank, now that we're back on for the hour, I'd like to push a little bit of a request for some funds, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
You say their friends aren't good enough for me.
No, we need to get some. We need to get some more funding for Innosight. We know we have a following. We know we have several thousands, maybe in the 70-some-odd thousand range of listeners. Innosight cannot do what we do without the financial support of our listeners and the viewers of our TV program. We're not asking for everyone to give thousands of dollars, unless you're a corporation that can afford it. But when you do, if you are a corporation, not only will we recognize you on our radio program on a regular basis, like you just heard we've done for other supporters, but if you're local to our listening area and you want to be on our TV show, which we tape once a month, we will bring you on that TV show, do a program with you, explain what you do, or if you want to do that, or whatever you want your subject to be. We'll give you a recording of the program, and you know, you'll be supporting our efforts on the TV show as well. Now, we might not be able to mention you on the TV show, but we will be able to put your name on the credits at the end of the show, depending on your support level. So the way you could do that is you can go to our website, innosight.info, and click on our PayPal button and enter whatever you wish in that PayPal area. We also have a GoFundMe account, which unfortunately has been sitting in a stalemate for many, many months. You could go on to our GoFundMe page, GoFundMe/InnerSight, and you could make your donation through there if you wish to. Whatever you could afford to do to keep us helping people. And remember, when we help someone, not only do we acknowledge that it came from you, but we do it. We don't, you know, we're not like the other organizations or agencies. We will tell you what we've done with your money. And it is a tax deduction for you as well, if you believe in that being the quote-unquote excuse to give. You know, do it. Because we really need the help to keep this going. I don't like begging for money on the air, so to speak, but we've been fighting long enough with this. We almost lost our show completely because we didn't have the funding to keep this radio show on the air. But due to some friends that helped us out, we made it back on for the hour. So we need some people more. We need more people to become friends and get on the ball. Get on the ball and support us, and you'll see what we do for you, what we do for you and anybody else. Thank you.
All right. Thank Joe for that. InnerSight, Big East Akita Rescue, Tom's River, New Jersey, 609-388-7004. Adopt the Big East. And great, great dogs over there. And by the way, they take very, very good care of their dogs. You know, they even have a trainer that comes in. So, you know, you want a good dog, call the Big East Akita Rescue. Or go to BigEastAkitaRescue.org. Around the world, InnerSight, and tonight, talking about how millions of us are controlled by the system. I mean, just look at all these demonstrations now that are going on with ADAPT and other groups. What is that all about?
They don't demonstrate
about
for the right
control
reasons.
Huh?
They don't demonstrate for the right reasons.
No, but they're demonstrating because the people are being controlled by the system. That's really what it's about, you know. If the money was there for the person and can only be used for the specific purpose, we would control our own lives, but we don't.
Yep. By the way, we do have Louis holding. Believe it or not.
Oh, all right.
Well,
you know,
no, we did. We don't anymore. He just dropped off. As soon as I mentioned his name, he dropped off.
He probably forgot it was on Friday.
Too much sangria again.
But this control situation, you know, I was thinking today, I don't know how this would work out mathematically, but if it ever comes to it, if we don't win the fight with this debit card idea, I mean, get rid of these agencies, turn our hundreds into thousands on the disability, and let us run our own lives.
You'll never
what
get
do you
rid
need?
Of the agencies, though.
Why do we need these agencies for?
The government runs the agencies, Frank.
Yeah, but if you have the money, you don't need the agencies.
Yeah, but where
the
are you going to get the money?
Still, you get it from the government. The government can still be the government, bottom line, the government can still have a certain amount of control.
The thing is,
you
the
know,
government is
they're
not
always
going to
have
give
a certain
us.
Amount.
The government,
you know,
no way is the government going to give us the money. That's
well,
what the problem is in the beginning.
I don't know. If you if you see, disabled people aren't protesting for that. I think they should. I think rather than go in and fight with these politicians, direct your attention towards some of the most wealthy agencies, you know, to start using that money to help people.
But the problem, you know, once again, Frank, is the government decides what the agencies do with their money. The agencies don't decide that. The government does. And the government,
yeah.
The government still believes what they've believed through the 18th century, that we're not entitled to it.
Well, that's probably true. You know.
So fighting the agencies is not going to help.
It's a constant battle. Well, sometimes it will and sometimes it won't. I mean, what are we going to do about the service dog schools where we have no rights?
Well, that you're working on with this contract. So if you work
yeah.
on, if we get this contract developed and we can put it through appropriately and not be wishy-washy with it, if we can go the right direction with it and be serious about it, we might get something done with that.
Also, we have the ADA, which hopefully can be amended to protect people who have to deal with service dog schools.
Yeah, well,
so,
if we ever see that happen, it'll be a miracle.
Yeah. But, you know, the whole thing is a controlling mechanism that we have to deal with on a constant basis, you know, constantly. Constant battle, it's a constant stress to many of us, you know, and I always say, and people don't agree with me, and I don't care if they don't, use the system to your advantage. The government uses us, the agencies use us. Turn it around, use it, you know.
Well, the few times I've had to, I've done it.
yeah. If nothing else works, get a petition, put it up there, let people know about it. You know, people are very funny. If they know they're donating money and that money is not being used to help people, they don't like that.
Yeah, well, if that were true, Frank, all these agencies and organizations would be broke. They're suckers for it. They all, because the agencies and these organizations constantly say that they're helping people, even though they're not.
Yeah, but we know, you know, if you can produce the evidence, you know, that many people aren't getting help, you know.
I mean, just look at these few things that are on TV lately. That Foundation for Warriors, I'm not going to say their name. They're coming on. The guy comes on. He lost his legs, you know, in some kind of a battle. He came home. This foundation supposedly helped him get everything he needed. And they, oh, for so much per month, you help people like me and blah, blah, blah. And you get, they
well,
give
that's
you a
good. That's what they
tote
should
bag
do.
And stuff for giving once a month for who. You know, it's an ongoing thing. It's not just one donation. It's like a certain amount per month, which adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they're not doing anything. This guy's, I don't even know, who knows if this guy's even, you know, involved with this. If they told him that if you don't do this promotion first, we're not going to help you. You know, he might be forced to do this thing in order to get the help that he needs. You know, this hospital for kids that's been on a lot lately. All these kids come on and they prey on people's emotions. The leader of these kids is a little boy in a wheelchair who's like the governor. You know, coming on and, oh, if you help us, we'll give you this blanket and you'll help all these children with your once-a-month donation to this hospital. All of us and many more kids are going to have a better life and blah, 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 blah. Since when do these places ever do anything for these kids? You know, I mean, come on. And people, I had an acquaintance at the place I go to on Thursday nights. He told me one night, oh, I just gave to these two places because I saw the ads on TV. I said, how could you? I said, that's atrocious. I said, why don't you just make a donation to Inner Sight where you know that the money's going to be used? He's giving
if
hundreds
these
and
people,
hundreds of...
If these places were really helping, they wouldn't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go on television. They
I
would
know,
use
and
that
like,
money to help the people who need it.
Bingo, and they're like 10-minute ads. So they're paying like, it's probably got to be, for each ad, it's probably got to be at least $150,000 to $200,000 for each spot. And they're on all the networks. They're not just in one place. They're all over the place. So they're probably paying about about something like $1 million a day.
Yeah.
To have these
why are they doing it? Why don't they use that money to help the people?
Bingo. But people give because they're making people feel sorry for these people that the ads are about. People come on, they say, oh, I'm calling, I'm here because this, because that, I was hurt, or, you know, these kids, oh, I could do this now, I could do that now. This children's hospital, one ad is like almost going back to the UCP days with the telethon. Oh, look at this girl, she could walk now, you know, and the girl comes out, hey, I'm walking, you know. Little tiny children. Oh no, yeah, I'm walking now. And they say, well, wouldn't be walking if we didn't get the help from the public. Yeah, right. Don't give me this bull crap.
Who knows? The kids walking maybe it has nothing to do with the hospital.
That's what I'm saying. You know, but they're using these kids.
Oh, sure.
And they're preying on people, and they're spending probably more money than they're making on these ads.
Oh, most of that money goes to salaries, as we found out with the service dog schools.
I'd like to be able to produce a 5-minute ad for Inner Sight, which would probably get more respect than these 10-15-minute ads for these hospitals and all these places, because we would tell people what we're going to do with the damn money.
These people have big money to do this.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Well, that's
but
why I did my...
If you're spending all that money on a television ad, that means you're not spending money to help the people.
Exactly, but that's also why I did what I did a few moments ago. If people want to help us and they want to help an organization succeed, not just play with people and prey on their minds to make them think they're doing things, this is where it belongs. And you'll see you'll see action being taken on what comes in, not these lies.
Yeah, I mean, if I call up a place like that and I said, I can't get the medical for my guide dog. You think they would help me?
Nope.
They wouldn't care.
I have to close out the show.
Yeah. All right. Inner Sight, I want to thank everyone for listening and Big Joe, engineer. And we'll be with you tomorrow night. Subject to be announced. I want to thank Anthony for calling in and for giving me the idea for the show. You can't say enough that we are controlled by these agencies and the government. And it's so true. All right, Inner Sight means freedom, advocates for the disabled. Our phone number is 631-224-3090. Thank you very much for listening. And please remember our petition, change.org. about the service dog situation. We are working on the contract, and we'll keep you updated on that. Thank you so much. Inner Sight Around the World. Be with you tomorrow night, 8 to 9 live. And, of course, Friday night at the Follies. We'll have some fun over here. Inner Sight. We need more of that. We need more people to help and really change the system. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. Inner Sight.
Goodbye, everybody.